Blog Talk Radio.
Computer buffering. Fixing the mic. Messing up the microphone. Microphone theme. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, a show for the people, by the people, that embodies the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, see what's popping in your streets, my streets, your hood, my hood. See how life is going. It's football season. We back. We bike. Having a good time, watching preseason, terrible football, but, you know, you get to see some guys that are going to fill in your roster, which is always exciting. We know you always, football is one of those sports where injuries are a part of the game. Things happen, so if you really pay attention to preseason, you'll see a lot of people that's going to end up filling in your roster. Especially if some of these backup spots that are, the second, third, or really the third, fourth wide receivers, your O linemen, a lot of your D backs, because them dudes always get hurt. DJ C Siren just walked in the building. She's wondering why we are doing the radio show in our living room. It's because Madden came out, and your son is addicted to a video game. So he's upstairs playing Madden. So we're going to do the pod down there. DJ C. Siren just walked in the door from work. Welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing, DJ C. Siren?
Tired.
Shitty day. Last day, you got the weekend off. We got folks in town. We're going to party with the Jews. We're going to party with the, what is this? She's from New Orleans. What do you call them? Geechee? No. That was not Geechee. That's Augusta, right? That's Georgia.
That's Carolina?
I thought that was like my voodoo sis from New Orleans. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see them. Love them to death. So we got planned for the weekend. Oh, so, hey, just to do a few housekeeping items, the off-ramp, the show. Like I told you, me and my folks get together. If you want to call in 929-477-3975. You can hit us up on all the other platforms, Twitter, Twitch. Oh, I gotta hop on Twitch too. All those good things. Thank you, DJ C Sign. Got me a Diet Coke to go with my yak. Don't spill this yak on this $300 suit. I think that's enough housekeeping items. We get right to the show. Started late, rushed in. Kid had a basketball game today. DJ C. Siren, you probably won't hear this. I got technical on the court today. They teed me up. These referees are soft nowadays. These referees are soft. My kid playing in this playoff game. And look, I tell people all the time, wins and losses at this age don't mean anything. It's the effort, it's the experience, and perfect example is the team that my kid usually plays on. They're a really good basketball team. They got a lot of kids. There's like 16 kids on that team. A lot of good athletes. A lot of smaller guards, but good and capable, right? So since my kid's one of the taller kids, they put him at center. All right, make him sit in the middle. And, of course, it's a guard-center team. He don't really get the ball that much. But, you know, when he does, you know, he tries his best. You know, he does. He plays a good defense. He's always played good defense. But even in the defense, like, he's so quick and he's so strong, they never have him on all ball defenders. They usually have him guarding the other team's center. And if you know anything about AAU, my son's tall for his age. He ain't tall for basketball. Basketball's a little different. So, you know, but he does his thing. He fights. So for this week, I'm like, all right, well, I'll put him on a different team. Now, a team he usually plays on is in this league. And, you know, of course, they had a tough game tonight. But because they're so well coached and they play all year round and all that stuff, they're undefeated. The team I put Julius, my son, on, they're not. We middle of the pack, but I think it's great experience because, again, he gets to run point guard. He gets to run shooting guard. He gets to play defense on the defender. But they're a pretty good team. So he was in this playoff game tonight against a team that we just played yesterday. We had to play them again because we got a bye. They won, so we had to play them again. No, not yesterday, the day before. Tuesday. So we had to play them again. And they're all right, but they got this one little kid who just runs into people. He's going to be a hell of a linebacker. But he's tiny, so because he's small, a lot of people don't really say nothing. So today, they're playing, and they called 7 fouls on our kids within, like, the first 10 minutes. And they called one foul on the other team. So I said, excuse me, Mr. Ref. I just want to let you know you've called 7 fouls on us and only one foul on them. But they're fouls. Look, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying that if you're going to call it tight for both teams. If you're going to let it loose, if you're going to let them play loose and let the kids be kids, because they're 9, 10-year-olds, and honestly, you can call it foul, trial, every play, then let them play loose. But call it consistent for both teams. He said, you got to calm down. And I think, what's wrong with black people being told to calm down? It ain't just me.
Another one?
Oh, man, my cousin got
another one?
God
okay.
Bless him.
Yeah, I'll be there.
5 kids, God bless him. Teacher salary? That's tough.
I'm just told different counselors.
But, yeah, he told me to calm down. I was like, what are you talking about? I am calm. He was like, I'm going to have to give you a tech. I said, yo, you can't, if my kid reaches in, and not my kid particularly, just a kid on the team, if they're going for a rebound and he reaches in, you call foul. Cool, I get it. If on the other side my kid goes for a layup and the other kid hits his hand and you don't call foul, you're not calling it consistent. I had enough of you. And he teed me up. I said, how are you going to give me a technical? I have a curse. I have a yell. I haven't done anything. He was like, you got to calm down before I get you out here. And I told him, you're not throwing me out for not yelling. I was like, you just saw. And the other coach ran over and came over to me. He was like, yay! Relax. Because he didn't want me to get kicked out. I don't know how you'd be a ref. Now, look. I understand refs got a tough job, especially in these kids' games. These parents be yelling, look, even tonight. Another game that was right next to ours, a ref and the coach got into it and started tussling in the middle of the game. I didn't even get up out of my seat when I was talking to the ref. So I don't know. I don't know, man. First time I got attacked without yelling, without cursing. But if you're going to be a referee, you can't be that soft. So that was the start of my night. But my kids got the W. You know, they won by 15. But you know what happened. It's a good tech, first of all. I hate to be that guy. But when they called the technical foul on me, I thought they got one shot in the ball. But I guess at this age, you get 2 shots. And I wasn't allowed to stand for the rest of the game. I had to sit down for the rest of the game. But the kid missed both the free throws, and I was like, good tech, good tech. And the ref looked at me. And I feel bad about doing that because it was another kid on line. He ain't got nothing to do with it. But, you know, ball don't lie is what I said. But I don't know if I'm going to be restricted tomorrow night. I don't know if I'm going to if they're going to have to email me about something. But I feel like after the coach and the referee got in a fight last night, they shouldn't say nothing to me. But, you know, it is what it is. I got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the offer tonight, my brother. We just getting started, man. How you holding up? I didn't expect to hear from you tonight.
Oh, yeah, man. I wasn't sure if I was going to hop on, man. I just, you know, happened to realize what time it was. I'm in a different time zone, but you know me. Blessed and highly favored. Glad to be here as always, man. Sorry I missed last week, but, you know, on that good old Southwest flight, right the entire time of the pod, man, 2 hours in the air and back down. Can't complain about that.
Yeah, you got Southwest got Wi-Fi, man. You should have hopped on. Pause.
So you really want me to be that dude, huh? Just having the whole conversation podcasting in the middle of a flight, huh?
Yeah. You could have been texting in, yo. I could have been I could have been reiterating your comments. Or I guess. I don't know what the word.
Relaying? I don't know what you're going to call
relaying.
It.
Relaying, that's
Yeah.
We could have been relaying your comments. Well, how's being back east, man? How's the different time zone feeling, man? You good, feeling good being back home? You get yourself a whole
You know what's funny? I think we talked about it on here before, man, but it's weird. East Coast people rude, man. we rude. East Coast people are so rude. I didn't – and, like, it's funny because you people say that. And, like, growing up here, you don't realize it. But being in the Midwest for, like, the past couple of years and coming back, I understand how you have so many fights in retail stores. Like, because people are so rude. Like, yo, you working. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yo, I agree. Moving away from Jersey and going to the South and living in the South, when you go back, you realize, yeah, like, people in the Northeast, like, they don't understand, like, it ain't that serious. They're a lot more sensitive than I would have realized growing up. I don't know if the word is sensitive or tough, but, like, every time I go back up north, it don't take but about 2 hours before somebody is flipping me off, driving or cursing. And I'm like, yo, I'm going past the speed limit. Like, if you're going to pass me, pass me. Like, why I got to get a fuck you just because you passing me? So I agree with you. There's something wrong with this one. We love him, but there's something wrong with
him. I ain't get the roll rage, man. I got the people in I'm at Walmart, man. The lady giving me attitude like, yo, you work here. And you just said you ain't know exactly how to do what I'm asking you to do, and now you're getting the attitude with me? Nah, that ain't going to fly. But you know what? I was like, you know what? That's when I realized, like, yo, she rude as hell. But I'm going to kill her with kindness. I kept being extra polite, extra polite, extra polite. She kept being extra rude, extra rude, extra rude until we was done. Then all of a sudden her whole thing changed. I'm like, you know what? This could have went left really fast. Like, really fast. Like, last year this could have went left really quickly. But, nah, I'm glad it ended differently.
So, yeah, that's funny, man. But, you know, it's good being back east, man. It's always good to be back home, see family, check in on everybody. What's the first thing, what's the thing that you miss most about the East Coast? I've always said the food. I never realized how easy it is to get good food back home until I moved somewhere else. Now, there's good food everywhere. And there's plenty of good food spots, you know, going to college in Baltimore, living in North Carolina, now living in Virginia. But the thing about being back north, back east is there's, like, good food every corner. Whereas when you get further in the south, like, there's some bad spots, yo. You can't just walk in and get a grub, get some grub. You got to make sure someone's eating there first, or because I went to this place, America's Best Wings, and they get a lot of publicity down here. It's a chain down here. And I was like, all right, you know, I've never tried, so let me try. Order me some wings. And Jersey got really underrated wings. Like, they don't talk about their wings. Everybody, of course, talks about cheesesteak, hoagies, panzerottis. Jersey has really underrated wings. But anyway, I got some wings. And I got, like, I was going fast. Got the car, opened the joint, ate a wing. I walked back in there. I was like, America's Best Wings, you are not. And I put the wings back and left. I didn't even ask for a refund.
Wait. Were you expecting America's Best Wings just because of the name?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anything that's called America's Best or, you know, best here, whatever, I'm probably not expecting that much. I'm thinking it's all hype. The places that taste the best, in my opinion, they don't really call themselves that. Like, they name it be something different, and they let the food do the talking.
I was run amok. I was led astray. But, you know.
You were hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Hoodwinked, bamboozled. That's all you said. All right.
While you were saying that, it got me thinking, though. Corner stores and bodegas. I don't think they're everywhere else. I don't think they're everywhere else. They definitely ain't in the Midwest. And so my pop's been in the hospital the past couple of days. I don't mind saying that on the air. But so when he would go get his lunch, I would go get my lunch. But I wasn't, like, going out nowhere. So I would just walk down the street from the hospital to the little corner store. Double cheeseburger, 20-ounce soda, and a big bag of chips. With tax, everything came to $5. I was like, oh, yeah, you can't get that everywhere.
Nah, you can't, yo. That's love. Yeah, ain't no corner stores most places, yo. The corner stores down here are 7-Eleven. That's about all you're going to get.
Yeah, and they don't be on the corner. They don't be on every corner like they out here.
Yeah, it's definitely a Northeast thing that is definitely I don't know why they're not more popular. Well, I guess in the South, things are so much more spread out that if you had a corner store, like, you don't have enough people that don't drive to need a corner store. Like, you can have a corner store, but most people in your neighborhood are just going to go to Walmart. They might come to you for a little sec for something in an emergency, but for the most part, they're gonna drive. Because that's the one thing about living in the South that, you know, that you really appreciate is the space. Like, it's easy to drive places and park. You might not get right next to the front door, but, you know, every time I go back home and I find a tough place to park, or if I visit folks in New York and I realize I got. They're like, yeah, just park on this block and walk over, and I got to walk, like, 6-7 blocks. And they're like, yeah, that's a good spot. I'm like, man, I got to get back down south. Down south, you pull right on up. There's always enough.
I had a couple of friends out.
Walking 6 blocks to get to where you're going from your car, that's crazy.
Especially in the summer.
Bruh, one time I went to go visit my man in New York. He was like, yeah, we're going to park in Jersey and take a bus over. It's like a little, like, I don't want to say China bus, but I don't know if that's racist or not. It was like this little Chinese man with, like, a minivan that just took people over to New York nonstop. And I was like, this is just ridiculous. I've gotten so used to, if I wanted to go out, just drive to the place and park there. It's absolutely ridiculous. My bad, had to finish dinner real quick. Walk in the door right before the show started. All right, man, let's start on the show. Enough random banter. Let's get to the shits. Well, can I don't know who's around you, yo. Am I good to talk how I talk, yo? I don't want anybody to yell at me since they know it's me. I take it from your silence. or unless you're talking on mute, then I'm good to go. All right, so first major story, bit of sad news. Maui's on fire. Maui, Hawaii. Maui, Waui, popular marijuana strain. Like, Hawaii just got... It's so many things I'm confused about wildfires. First, how did they start? I guess a lightning strike. I had this whole discussion with my wife. It was actually, like, a weird discussion in the car about lightning with my son and my wife. But I guess lightning can start a wildfire. Down here in Virginia, we live next to a swamp. Lightning can strike, and the swamp catches fire. I just don't understand because, like, if there's water around, just dump some water on it. And I don't want to make light of Hawaii's situation because I'm not. I know they find, like, hundreds of people dead, which is scary because I guess you can't really go nowhere. It's an island. Eventually, the fire is going to run into the water. But Maui's on fire, and a bunch of people died. And you can't really evacuate anymore. It's like a five-hour flight just to get to L.A. Like, Hawaii's in... I guess you just go to another island. But I would think, like, you would think with that much water surrounding that you would be able to stop wildfires pretty quickly. But I don't know the science of wildfires, so I'm not gonna try to make light of the situation. But it was shocking, like, California, I get it. California is part of a desert. It's the end of the desert before you get to the coast. So I get why there's wildfires there. It's a bunch of dry, dirty land. I thought Hawaii was, like, rain most of the time. I didn't think it was that dry to have wildfires run through it. I mean, it ran through a lot of the city. But then I was reading up on it, and a dude said that he was able to save his house because he sprayed his house down with water. And then I got confused. Because I'm like, hold on. If you mean to tell me there's these fires coming, I'm going to take a hose, wet my house down, and it's gonna save the house? Why not just take the hose and spray the fire? I would assume it would put the fire out. But again, I don't know nothing about wildfires. I pray everybody's okay. I actually know one of Julius's friends that runs track, his family, has now moved to Hawaii. I don't know which island. It could be Maui. It could be another one of those islands. It could be any of them. But thank God for Facebook and the random "I'm marked safe from white people" button that they have. She let everyone know that she was safe. And I make that joke because I don't understand that button. You tell people that you're marked safe from something.
Why are you really saying that? Like, that seems like it's pretty self-explanatory. It's like people you can't get in contact with. You got a little Wi-Fi for a second just to let your family know, like, yo, I'm safe. If y'all worried about me, because y'all know I'm out here, I'm safe. It seems like it's self-explanatory.
But I would think that you wouldn't put that on the internet. I would think that the people who are worried about you, you would talk to them.
There might be some problems with the phone.
Okay. I got in the internet and telling people everything about you on the internet always worries me. Don't tell me you marked it.
You make a good point though, man. Me and my brother. Know if we gonna give anybody nicknames. We were just saying, as soon as you said it, it's like, it don't make no sense for an island surrounded by water to be getting devastated by fires. And, you know, they should have the easiest access to water than everything, the infrastructure to get water all over the island. It really don't make sense that that be happening there. So
That's interesting. I don't know if this is probably the first time ever. I ain't stayed up on a story, obviously, but that makes me think, like, this is something they just ain't never planned for at all. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we could catch on fire, too. Like, they never thought of this at all. I mean, I understand the whole, like, waterlogging your house or whatever. Cause they do that in California all the time to, like, stop fire from spreading because, you know, once the wood and everything is damp, it's not going to catch, and that kind of stops. So I get that part. But I feel like an island should be the easiest people to put out wildfires. I feel like their firefighter department should have the easiest job of all time.
I mean, the thing that confused me about waterlogging the house is what if all it takes is for you to spray your house down with water for a fire, not to let it catch on fire, why not just spray the land around it? You would say, well, the land's going to dry up. Well, eventually your house is going to dry, too.
Yeah, but you think it just, you wet it enough. And I don't think it's just spraying. I think you got to get it like really, really, like a good soaking for it to not work. And I think it could be just different, like grass and trees is easier to catch on fire. Like you just spray the land. Again, and I don't think it's just spraying. I think it's like really soaking it up. And it's probably like if you're in the wildfires like California, like the forest in North California or whatever, Stanford trees, they soaking the water up, but I don't know if they, like, really, like, they going internal. I don't know if that's going to stop the wood from burning on the outside.
Well, with this, and that was the other thing that confuses me, and I guess I got to talk, I guess I got to call my friend that's out there. Well, Julius's friend, his mom, and his dad, I got to ask a question. Because the two things that I've learned from this is, the main question I got is, yo, you're on an island. Let's just say there's a million people on the island. You hear there's wildfires. Everybody get a bucket, walk to the water, and come back and throw water down. I feel like with as many people there is in Hawaii, the fire could only, once it starts, I figure if all y'all grab a bucket and just walk to the corner, fill it up with water and dump it, y'all be all right. But that could be ignorance. I firmly understand that. It just doesn't make sense to me. Because, and then the other thing is, when it comes to wildfires and the idea of wildfires and, you know, a house burning down, it makes sense to have a moat. Like, I never understood the idea of a moat until wildfires.
Fires.
But you should have, everyone should have a moat in case of a fire. Because if the fire starts in your house, it can't spread because of the moat. If you got a wildfire, it can't get to you because of the moat. So I want to win the $1 billion lottery and start a community where every house has a moat. Who's with me?
Nobody. Die right here. He said, let's do that. So you got at least one person down with you, I mean, to get you a moat and a drawbridge and all that around every crib. I don't know if that's actually the answer. I don't know if that's the answer, but it might work, man. You never know until you try.
You might help the fire problem, but it's going to be malaria and Zika all over the place.
Well, see, I thought about that because I know you can't have standing water because you're going to have mosquitoes and stuff. So why not make it like a lazy river where, like, instead of going to your homie house, tell Ty, say what up. I still owe you a phone call. I just saw yesterday that you called me, like, last week. So my bad, bro. I'm going to call you tomorrow. But, yeah, I'm thinking about having a community with moats like lazy rivers. So instead of being able to walk to your neighbor's house, ring the doorbell, say what's up, you walk out the crib, you get you a little tube, you hop in the moat, and the moat is like water circulating.
So you don't have to work or anything?
No, you still got to get a bridge to drive across when you go to the regular world. But in the community, you can just hop in your lazy river. What do you call them things? It's not a basket. Gurney?
Inner tube, right?
Inner tube. You hop in your condom and you float to your neighbors. No, you don't get wet in the inner tube. You stay on. You just get a big enough inner tube. Like the lazy, it's a lazy river. This ain't a white water raft. I'm just taking the lazy river to Blur's crib.
It's a lazy river. Usually, a lazy river is just the rain. When you just float down and you get wet.
Yeah, you get in a hole. But this is like a little boat. Think about a little boat on the moat. So think about, what's that place in Italy where you got to take boats everywhere?
Yeah.
Venice. Think about Venice, but moats. They said that water dirty, but they said it got cleaned up during COVID. They said it was the first time people could see through the water. And now it's a piece of shit. Back to a piece of shit. All right, so prayers to Hawaii, Maui, Wowie. Light one up for Hawaii. All right,
I saw one thing, yo, before you move on, bro. I saw one thing. When it first started, the dude on the news, he was like, Maui is gone. And I was like, wait, what? I'm like, this might just be for shock value. But then they repeated it. It's like, Maui is gone. And I'm like, this like, I was like, how the whole thing, like the whole island of Maui is gone? It's like, it's the whole thing?
No, the whole island ain't gone.
I don't think the whole island, but I guess all the developed parts. And I was like, the whole developed part? Like, that's what made me thinking, like, yo, they're not going to let this big tourist attraction just burn. I'm feeling like Biden knows, like, yo, that's money. That's Hawaii is still one of the states. And if they can't get people out there to visit for tourism, they're going to be in some trouble. So I can't imagine they would just let that happen.
I didn't need to go out there like Trump did and start throwing fire extinguishers in the crowd. That'd be hot, yo. It might be dangerous. I don't know if Biden...
Your boy was out there out there shooting free throws with rolls of paper towels. And Biden would have been out there swinging them like baseball bats, though.
Ain't you supposed to smother a fire? Why do people get out there and throw some baby powder around the house?
That's oil.
Like electric.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Green fire.
So another part of the world collapsing. The West Coast is about to get punished by a hurricane. Yo, we're fucked. Like, I don't know what's going on in this world. We've been having storms down here in Southeast Virginia where it's pouring rain so bad you can't see a thing. It feels like it's Florida weather. I wonder when the poles flip, did the weather get flipped? Because we get pouring rain here for 5 minutes, and then it's stopping. It's just nothing. It's just humidity. And then we get another 10 minutes of rain, and then it just stops. It's sunny. I feel like we've adopted Florida weather. So I don't know if the country flipped, and now we're kind of like Georgia. And maybe like Maryland's like Florida. I don't know, man. But basically, southern Mexico, well, southwest Mexico, and the entire California is about to get hit with a hurricane. It never rains in southern California until tomorrow. Thankfully, living here in southeast Virginia, they only get hit with a Category 1 storm. Now, I'm pretty sure California's not bracing for it. I mean, they're not used to having hurricanes. But you know what they ain't going to get? A wildfire. Hopefully there's enough rain that, you know, it soaks them. I wish this hurricane would have went to Hawaii.
Carry the fire.
No. But, you know, I don't know when was the last time California got hit with a hurricane. But it would suck. Like, I mean, it's one thing. Like, I never wanted to move to California because of the earthquakes. Like, I don't feel comfortable with the earth moving, right? Not that I can feel. I know the earth moves all the time. Please don't Neil deGrasse Tyson me. I understand that the earth is constantly moving. But when you feel the earth moving, it's a scary thing. Like, the ground should move. So I would never move to California because of that, and it's always on fire. Now you're adding hurricanes? I'll pass. California, what Biggie say? Great place to visit. So, Blair, you got anything on them getting hit by a hurricane?
I just wanted to bring it up because it was interesting news.
I ain't even know about it, to be honest with you. This is the first I'm hearing about it right now. I ain't heard nothing about no hurricanes or nothing. Cali.
Yeah, you've been traveling. Well, did you hear about Keke Palmer being a hoe?
I don't know nothing about no hoeness, man. I understand she a video vixen now. She's not a hoe. She's in the video, man. She a working girl. Let that girl work.
DJ, she's hired mad because she always wanted to defend a woman.
Well, you're always ignorant. Say something.
Why do you say I'm always ignorant? I'm not always ignorant. I am ignorant at times, but don't put me in a box.
When it comes to women issues,
you present very. That's not true. I love bitches. You can't say that. I'm very supportive of women.
What did you just say? Why don't we start the discussion with what you really want to talk about? Because clearly, there's nothing to say about anyone being a whore, okay?
It's foul, what she did. Now it makes me look at the whole situation differently.
No. Well, okay. Can you please stop speaking in riddles? What are you speaking of?
So Keke Palmer, if y'all remember, a couple months ago, went to the Usher concert with her ass cheeks out. Usher came up to her, started singing. She turned around and started backing up on him just slightly. It wasn't nothing major. I still don't think it was that major. Then her boyfriend at the time, well, they were talking about her, and her boyfriend chimed in with saying, "Yo, you a mother, you shouldn't be out like that." And then the internet went into a rage. And we had the discussion on here and off, right? I didn't think what she did was that bad. I think she looked great. She just had a baby. She got back in shape. She's in a sexy outfit. Women sometimes like to dress sexy. It doesn't mean anything. Dave Chappelle made a great joke against this whole woman's idea of just because I'm dressed like this doesn't mean I'm a hoe. And he said, well, if I show up and there's a fire and I'm in a fireman's outfit, don't come up to me and expect me to be a fireman. It was a great joke, but I'm still on the woman's side in this. No, it was a great joke.
No, because that's not a uniform. You tell me how someone's supposed to look.
He said, just because I'm dressed like this. And I'm just telling the background. I thought it was still a great joke.
That's
all the crap. I got salad in my I got salad in my beard. Forgot that. So now all of a sudden Keke Palmer, Usher's new video, is That Your Boyfriend, I think is the name of the song. And she's Usher's love interest. And even at the end of
the video?
No, I haven't yet.
I don't know. I haven't watched it, but I think there's a difference in it. It's not.
But at the end of the video, she says, "I can't be out here like this. I'm a mother." Basically poking fun at the guy. And, of course, they're not together no more. But this is what he was talking about. She clout chasing.
I don't like that terminology because I think it's dumb. Clout chasing.
He had a general concern about the mother of his child.
I feel as though...
Should he went to the internet now? But now she's making fun of him in public because she's the public
guy. It's because...
That's a bitch.
He wants to capitalize on the situation.
At the expense of someone else who was emotionally hurt.
Well, I don't know about his expense of them, but...
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely his expense.
I mean,
that's
not,
the situation
I'm
to make a fun of.
I'm considering the whole
but,
thing.
See, that's why...
He said she was like that anyway. I'm like, no, the situation came about... Where it's like, hey, we can actually capitalize on all of this talk.
The talk died. Didn't nobody care about this. We didn't care about this no more. Once that dude got hit with that folding chair.
So now no one talks about it.
No, I'm saying we had moved on.
Well, it takes a second to make a song.
You're good with her cloud chasing like this?
We ain't making no
my coworker.
followed the Bodega videos. We tried to do quality. Couldn't come out last.
So you good with Keke Palmer doing this? You don't care about nothing women do, yo. You sexist.
You just say that because I...
When's the last time you criticized a woman?
I don't know. Why do I have to remember? I don't remember.
Yo, I have responsibility and stuff. Ooh, that's a good ball. Pause.
He was wrong in the beginning. You can't say because they...
He was. I guarantee it. Go ahead, Blur. You jumping in?
Oh, no, I was going to say, I don't blame Keke Palmer either, man. I don't think she's capitalizing off his mental anguish or any of that, man. She's just having fun. And it is petty. I will say it's petty, but I don't think that's – because this is for Usher, so I'm pretty sure she did it for free. I don't think that she's capitalizing off of it any particular way. Just poking fun at a situation that he put them in. Like, this wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't for his actions. And now she's just being petty, making light of it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Not at all.
You can't capitalize off something and do it for free. I think that's the opposite definition of capitalization.
Well,
I don't think she's benefiting from this. I don't think she's getting anything out of this. She's just having fun with it.
I say she is, but I'm just saying in terms of...
I hope she got paid.
I mean, maybe not just... I mean, just the...
So you, this man was obviously emotionally distraught, and you just going to kick him while he's down? He a black man, too.
You feel like this situation really does need to be something that's causing someone emotional? No, don't answer the question before I'm finished.
Ooh, shark has fangs.
I'm just saying. Ooh, do you really feel like this is a situation that should have caused mental anguish?
By him?
Yes.
No, it was a bitch move what he did. But see, I can criticize another guy and still criticize the woman. Can you? Can you criticize both sides, or are you
this
just going to defend
about,
the woman?
This is not asking me what I can do.
I'm asking you what you think on the off-ramp. You one of the co-hosts?
If the situation comes about, I can, yes, I can.
We got mad people on here. My bad, y'all. I've been over here watching football. We got so many people on the line. My bad, folks. Go ahead, DJ Peace. I didn't mean to call you off. I just clicked back and saw these people said, damn, I've been holding out.
No.
Go ahead, DJ Peace. What was your call?
I lost my train of thought.
Can you criticize a woman?
If the situation comes to that,
bullshit.
It's about my opinion and what I agree with.
Look, Lizzo out here raping other fat bitches and you ain't said a word.
This has not been proven. And number one, it was not raped. I wish you do not go to extremes. That is not
allegedly.
The charges.
Allegedly.
Not the charges.
I want no problem.
Not the charges.
I got my man New York, New York in the building. New York, New York, my bad. I don't know how long you was holding on. I've been over here watching football. Welcome to the off-ramp, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Look, I'm good. Glad to be on the show. You know what I mean? I definitely think Keke Palmer is definitely, I don't want to say, I don't know if she's capitalizing, but it's definitely like, I don't know, she's doing it for attention. She's definitely doing it for attention. I think both sides is wrong, but, like, you kind of egging on a dead situation now. Like, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, give it up. You know what I mean? It's very petty. Like, you know what I mean? Just give it up. It wasn't need to go that far. But I think, like, if there was any type of things, like, for them to actually, like, get back together, now she added salt onto the wound, and now it's kind of, like, done. If I was in a homie situation, you know what I mean? I wouldn't even get back with her no more. Like, that she already solidified the deal. It's done. It's a done bun. It's sealed. It's closed. It's never going to happen again.
And that's my problem with DJ C-Side. As much as I love her, you're exactly right, New York, New York. Both of them are wrong. We criticized the dude. Now it's time to criticize Keke. Spelling B. I don't know what else. What else has she done? In the house. Was she in the house?
No.
But it's time to criticize Keke, and DJ Cece can't do it.
Not gonna.
Because she's sexist.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna.
Because she's
not
sexist.
Not gonna do it.
Got my cousin Jack in the building. Jack, what's happening, man? You hear about the Keke Palmer news? What you think? Is Keke wrong?
Yeah, man. I'm saying Keke wrong, but I'm saying, like, I agree both of them is wrong. because he don't got no business staying out online. I wouldn't go that far. Like, if you can't talk about it in private, then you shouldn't have that talk at all. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't let my girl go out there and do all that shit with Usher. I mean, yeah, like, that had me thinking about the Boondocks. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but his white wife got took by Usher. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but that's what it got me thinking about.
Yeah, big fan of Boondocks. Boondocks was great, man. It's a classic. It's absolutely fun. See, I can give women props. I don't know why DJ C-Sign can't criticize women, you know. It just doesn't make sense to me. But, yeah, so I think Kiki dead wrong. I think her boyfriend was dead wrong. And now Kiki just throwing salt in the wound by doing this whole Usher routine. If I was him, I'd throw out the STD set. I'm petty. You ain't gonna make this whole video at my expense. I'm gonna let everybody.
But that would just be him hating on Usher. If he bring out an STD, he ain't talking about a Kiki. He talking about that's Usher. And if you start going at the other man, oh, that's just gonna make you look even cornier.
Yeah, at this point, it's war. I made myself look like a fool. Then I went in silence. You made your statement. I'm an adult. I know I'm a mother. I'm allowed to go out and have my fun. Cool. Everybody was riding with you. Now you making a video and you broke up with me? Oh, I'm telling everybody your box thing. Aww,
dude. Now you just going to go out there and start lying?
Yup. Well, how do you know her box don't stink?
Well, how do you know it does? But you just saying it just to say it.
Your inference
is that you're just saying it. That's not.
Well, you can't comment until you can criticize a woman.
I can still comment. What was she wrong doing? What?
She hit Wembanyama.
Who?
Wembanyama. The basketball player. When Brittany got in trouble for hitting the basketball player in the back, and the security team tossed her up.
No, you don't hit people. You get tossed when you hit people.
So Brittany was wrong.
Yeah.
You don't criticize me.
I got to see. You know what's funny? I can't agree with you on that one, DJ C-Side. I don't think Brittany was wrong. She, like, Gunn said hit. I don't know if you saw the video. She ain't hit him. She ain't, like, cocked back and hit him. She was trying to get his attention by tapping him, and the security backhanded her. So, you don't get – I mean, look, you ran up on somebody and you tapped them. You run the risk of getting accosted by security. That said, security should have took a little, like, people, Secret Service don't even just swing on people like that. They'll step in, push you away. His security just backhanded him, or he didn't know who it was. He can't just out here backhanding white women like that. I mean, so part of me wish you could just get away with that, but now you just don't just start backhanding people out of GP or just off the littlest tap. Now, there's got to be some... There's got to be some protocol here.
Touch me, get backhanded, yo. That is the protocol. Keep your hands to yourself. You don't get backhanded. All right. So we all think that Kiki was wrong, except for DJ C-Sign, who can't criticize a woman. That's where we landed at. All right. Next one, Shannon Sharp. Didn't take him long. Left Skip Bayless. And now he's going to be on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. Are we excited? Do we think this is a good pairing? What do we think? Blur, what you got?
I heard the rumors. I don't know if this was official or not. So if this is official, I'm happy for him. But it's bigger than just being happy for him. It's a change in the thing, because for the longest time, broadcasters or journalists or whatever, like, the thing was you go to ESPN to get known. You go there to get your name out. You go to Fox and FS1 to get paid. They're like, you go get your name, you build your name at ESPN, and you go somewhere else and get paid. And, like, I've heard a lot of people say that, like, people I've liked at ESPN throughout the years, when they finally, because this ain't the first time people, like, there's been turnover at ESPN. Like, when they leave, it's always because ESPN don't pay you. They don't pay you what you think you're worth once you get to a certain level, so you go somewhere else. So for them to be breaking bread on, because I know Shannon Sharp ain't cheap. I know he wanted to get away from Skip, so cool, but I know he ain't just leave without getting his money. So we know they breaking bread for Shannon Sharp. We know they breaking bread for the other dude. I can't think of his name. Whatever his name is, the white dude, the kicker. Like, I know he got the bag too. So if they break it, they handing out the bag like that, that's a change in protocol for ESPN. I like it. Go ahead and pay the people that the people want to see. So I'm all for that. Shannon and Stephen A. Smith together, yeah, that's going to be a great show. I don't know if they're going to, like, redo the whole thing. Cause I kind of like seeing Stephen A. Smith with different people every day. But if it's just going to be him and Shannon every day, I could see it. I hope they still rotate more people in, though.
Yeah, you was talking about Pat McAfee, the punter.
Yeah, the Pat McAfee show, him.
I don't really watch First Take much anymore. You know, usually I'm at work, so I'm usually listening to an audio book or a podcast, so I don't listen to it much. But I think Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp can be entertaining. I'm concerned it'll be too black for ESPN. Well, look, I mean, it's a whole segue of a topic where ESPN is firing so many people, and they were discussing on the Dan Levitar show how the world is basically going to, like, five companies in the Saudis, Google, Apple, Amazon, and I forgot the other two companies. And they're talking about how ESPN is really about to break off from Disney, and probably Apple's going to buy ESPN or Amazon's going to buy ESPN. And I'm like, oh, that would be pretty interesting. But it kind of makes sense the way the world is going with streaming. You know, we're just headed back to cable. So I do wonder how this deal with Shannon Sharp is gonna last, especially with the fact that ESPN seems to be hemorrhaging money. They seem to be, well, I mean, when you do layoffs, you're not really hemorrhaging money. You're basically just cutting off. It's just like with anything. When you make a bunch of money, you hire more people so you don't have to pay as much in taxes. You got to get tax write-offs, and you do bonuses and all that other stuff. When the world starts getting tight, you just lay people off to keep your margins. It's like one of the first things you learn in economics and business. So them having a bunch of layoffs is kind of just them getting back to center. You know what I'm saying? But I do think it could be entertaining. Shannon Sharp, Stephen A. Smith, both entertaining. DJ C. Sire, are you excited to watch them? You can care less. Don't support no black men.
Stop. I just don't watch it.
New York, New York. You want to see Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp? I'm going to call him Shannon A. Sharp.
Yeah, I'm happy for Shannon. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I don't think, is it every day? Because I think I read something that said he's only going to be on there for like 2 days a week or everything. But like, yeah, I'm happy for him. I'm trying to see what type of shit they put back and forth.
Okay, all right, Jack, what you got? You watch First Take it all?
Yeah, I'm happy. I think they'll work well together, and I'm excited to see what they'll say, see how they mix.
Where the hell are you driving to, Jack?
Oh, I'm driving my Duke's crib.
Oh, okay. You headed back up north?
Oh, yeah, trying to get to the paper.
Okay. All right. I hear that. All right. Well, you got anything left on Shannon A? Stephen A. It's too many S.
Now, you know, I really like the idea if it's just him twice a week. Like, you get him on Monday after NFL and maybe, like, I guess the Friday show going into the NFL week to the Sunday to the the football weekend. You get Pat McAfee. You probably get Tim Tebow on a Friday or something like that. So, yeah, I think if they keep it, they keep a nice rotation, just bring Shannon in twice a week. Still got some of your regular people who are going to be contributing. Yeah, I think they're going to do a great job with that.
Okay. All right. Cool. Dwayne Wade went into the Hall of Fame. Shouted out Allen Iverson for being such a great influence. Shout out to Stepdad. It was a good week for Stepdads. But does anybody care? I'm sure people.
I think the NBA Hall of Fame is I don't want to call it a joke. I won't call it a joke, but not definitely not because of Dwayne Wade. But I think the NBA Hall of Fame is just I don't know. Just don't hold the whole. It don't keep the same prestige as the other Hall of Fame for some reason. And it's probably the most accurate because I think they only the people who deserve to get in probably get in. It's just maybe that's the reason why because it's like the unquestionable Hall of Famers are the only ones who get in. That it's never really like any excitement. Like, oh yeah, Dwayne Wade's the Hall of Famer. That's not surprising. It's just not.
I mean, we're going to have some surprises coming up. I mean, there was a lot of the big story was that there was so many of foreigners. I guess they're considered foreigners. What do you call it? I guess European players. I don't know if they're considered foreigners, but, you know, Tony Parker and all that got in. So it's a big day for the European basketball community. But, I mean, you're right. Basketball Hall of Fame isn't really – for some reason, it's never that – you know, it's not that exciting. I think, you okay? Did you fall?
Yeah.
Oh, man, my wife and my son both keep falling down steps. I think when Allen Iverson got in, I don't know if it's just because of my fandom. So I guess if you're a Miami Heat fan, it was a big weekend. But when Iverson got in, like, I think a lot of people were waiting to hear that speech. I think people just like seeing Allen Iverson cry. But, you know, I don't think there's never really been a huge. You're right. When I feel like when the NFL Hall of Fame comes around, like we're anxious to see who gets in, who doesn't. Basketball Hall of Fame comes around, we always just like, oh, okay. And that's pretty much it. Anybody
like I think about like when Yao Ming got in, I was like, is Yao Ming a Hall of Famer? And I was like, for what he meant for the sport, it's probably unquestioned. I just didn't think he played long enough or was good long enough to be a Hall of Famer. But everything else, like the way he helped grow the sport internationally, it's like a no-brainer. But that was the only time I remember questioning somebody going into the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you gonna piss off China? You say that? You damn right, Yao Ming's a Hall of Famer. You gonna start World War III? They'd be ready to get at us if they ain't let him in the Hall of Fame. At that point, you just keeping the peace. James Harden over there now, shitting on the six. You keep China happy. But all right, cool. I mean, I just wanted to bring that up real quick. I know it wasn't the most popular thing in the world. But anybody got anything left on Dwayne Wade?
Did he thank Gabriel Union? I didn't see the speech. But I'm wondering if he thanked his wife.
I think he mentioned her one quick time, but I mean she wasn't around when he was in the league. They didn't get together till afterwards. If I'm correct, or until at least late.
Nah, she was there for the LeBron year, so I guess late, but yeah, she was there towards the end.
You know, Gabrielle Union could have been my girlfriend. Yeah. I told y'all this story.
I knew that was coming. I knew about mentioning that was coming.
Yeah. At one point, Gabrielle had her hand on my leg telling me how funny I was. He was in a club in Arizona in 2009, 2008, somewhere around then. Hand on the leg talking about, you so funny. What you doing after this? And I froze up, man. And I froze up not because she wasn't even that famous at the time. But,
yes,
you know,
she was.
It's like, no, she wasn't. I don't even think Bring It On was out.
And 2008 or 2009, bring it on. Definitely out.
No, I gotta find out when the exact year was. But like it might have just came out. Like I knew who she was, but she wasn't like A-list. She's very up and coming.
You know. She wasn't white famous.
Yeah. I know, he said it isn't the air, but he was up there jumping with his team.
But he's walking down steps
here. I know, he's been complaining all night. So yeah, Gabrielle could have been my baby mama, yo. But again, like I told people before, I knew the situation that I was in. She assumed that I was a rich NFL player and I was a poor college football player. So I didn't want to lead her on. But from onset, you would have thought that I was part of a very rich crew of NFL football players. Things could be deceiving. Shout out to Gabrielle. Hope you're happy. What else?
I may have told you this before, but I'll tell you again, man. You dodged a bullet. The woman's crazy.
Why do you say she crazy? Got gay kids?
I don't know. I guess she does claim them, but yeah, nah, she's crazy, man. Like she's definitely crazy. I hate to speak ill of someone I don't know personally, but I've seen enough from her to know she got some social issues and some mental. I don't say mental, but some. So I'll just say social issues, man. I ain't never seen somebody try so hard to be liked and to be down with everybody. It's yeah, man, I feel like you dodged a bullet, man. I mean, but you still dodged a bullet.
Why you say that? I guess this is my ignorance when it comes to celebrity and lifestyle. Who is she trying to be liked by? She seemed cool as a fan, yo. Honestly, like, real talk, like, I make light of the jokes. But we had a good conversation, and she seemed cool as a fan when I talked to her, yo. So I don't know.
I mean, I just seen it over the years, man. Just like a following her from the Bring It On years, man. Like she be our little interviews and things, and just like events and stuff. Like little, I don't even know what you call them. Committees or little things where she's with a bunch of people. She just always seems like she's trying hard to fit in. It's like, yeah. It's weird, man. It's weird. It's like she's trying too hard to be liked and wants to be friends with everybody.
Maybe she's just a friendly person, yo. Not everybody is Northeast antisocial. I hate the world.
I actually think she's from Jersey, so she might be a Jersey girl. She used to date Jason Kidd, I think. Yeah, Jason Kidd. And it's like even her telling that story, like bringing up that she used to date Jason Kidd and he cheated on her in high school. Like, man, I'll see if I can find some of it. She did a whole thing with a bunch of female actresses or female actors, whatever you want to call them. I swear she was like the smallest name on it. It was like her, Felicia Rashad, a bunch of other people. It was Oprah was hosting it. It was like an hour-long thing. You should see, she talked almost the entire time. And you should see the way Felicia Rashad kept looking every time she opened her mouth. Like, this woman talking again? Like, Claire Huxtable was giving her all type of side eyes to the point that Oprah had to say something about it. Oprah was like, my staff is telling me that the funniest part of this whole show is Felicia watching you and your reactions. That's all she said, but when you're watching it, you can see, like, what she's reacting to is Gabrielle Union. Every time Gabrielle Union starts saying something, Felicia Rashad just like, nah, this phony B right here. Like, you can just see it. It's hard to explain, but you just see it.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but, I mean, I can see she has a very bubbly personality. But, I mean, you're telling me she used to date Jason Kidd, then I worry about her. He's got a record.
So maybe.
Well, I mean, it was high school, so you know, she probably was like the cheerleader, pretty girl, and he definitely was like, I mean, Mr. Athlete or whatever it was, whatever they vote people as, both athletic. So I could see how that went together.
Yeah, you know. All right, so that's enough on my ex. Wherever she's at, I hope she's in good health and happy. I wish that of all my exes. I hope they're in good health and they're happy. You don't wish that, DJ C-Sire, you petty. You wish all your exes, except for the jailbird one with the good hair, is doing bad?
She's not your ex, that's what I'm saying.
Why is she?
Why is she? Because you talked to her?
She was rubbing
my
thigh.
You can't say, I talked to you, we go together now.
No, once you rub the thigh, we go together.
You talk to me.
I had short shorts on, too, because I was trying to look real preppy out in Arizona in the clubs. I had to wear the club gear, so I had short,
yeah,
I had
nothing to do
with short
nothing.
Little khaki
nobody's
shorts.
Ex.
Don't hate. I chose you.
sound delusional.
All right, so we had a story. Well, y'all got anything left on Gabrielle Union, New York, New York, Jack. I know me and Burr went on tangent about my ex. All right. Head to the next one. So, I think last year, a Microsoft exec got murdered. And we all started conspiracy. And I said, it doesn't look like conspiracy. It looks like there's always three reasons for murder. Money, love, what's the third one? What did we learn? It's always about money, love, and something else. It's same thing with the Apple guy who got killed in San Francisco. You always look at the wife or the husband first in a murder. And this turned out to be his ex-wife. And that's all I wanted to bring out. That's why I don't like you conspiracy theorists, show. You come up with all these things, oh, he must have known something. He was talking about AI. You bring up every TED Talk these motherfuckers ever had. And it was like, no, he was getting pussy from other bitches, and his wife wanted the money, so she killed him. It ain't never nothing that deep. Stop making up stuff. I don't know if y'all heard that story or not, but I just wanted to bring it up. Let's see what we got. The next big story that dropped. Y'all ever seen The Blind Side? I'm kind of conflicted in stories. So Michael Orr, I don't know if he'll be a Hall of Famer, but a real good offensive tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. He also, I forgot where he got drafted, but he was the famous guy in The Blind Side. Blind Side is a movie made about a black kid down on his luck from Mississippi, gets taken in by the white savior family, goes to Ole Miss, and becomes an NFL player. Saves the kid in a car crash with his bare arm from an airbag. The movie's good. Okay. Good is the wrong word. The movie's entertaining, but I have a weird thought about this because I had a friend of mine who was extremely athletic from a poor neighborhood who was adopted by a white family. Now, this is a guy that we played with as kids. He'd grown to be a good athlete. His mom... Dad had some issues, but they were there. But they wanted him to go to a better school to get a better opportunity. Looking back now, I don't really understand that because he would have went to either Camden High or Wilson. And though violence and gangs are prevalent in the city of Camden, they've always had good athletics.
So he was from that area?
No, Michael Orr is from Mississippi.
Oh,
but I don't want to say his government on here, but a guy that
okay.
we know
okay.
was adopted by a white family.
Okay.
And he went to the NFL.
And there were some issues there. And it's weird because, and I'm not trying to tell his business because I know what he's told me in the conversations we've had. I know how that family, that white family, because we're friends. Like, I was friends with the white family, too, and they had kids, too. Great family. They was always great to me. No complaints. But it became very much, from what I understand from the entire conversation, it became very much, you know, we gave you a good opportunity. You owe us. Which you could kind of understand from both sides because they absolutely did give him a better opportunity. He went to a great high school, balled out, went to a great college, balled out, had a chance to play in the NFL. Did pretty good. Went to Canada, got made some money, won some championships. Great football career from our area. And I know they support him because I know the family. I know how loving the family is. But the moment you decide to take a kid in, they should never feel like they owe you. I don't think so anymore. And I'm talking really about his story. Now I'm talking about Michael Orr's story where, and again, because I know my man personally and I'm a Michael Orr person, I'm just looking from the outside in. And I'm still looking from the outside in of my man situation too because I wasn't in those rooms when those conversations happened. I was a kid too. When Michael Orr gets taken in by this family and starts to excel in sports, and I'm even ignoring the whole they made him look like a big dumb oaf in the movie because I just understand that's Hollywood. I can understand why he was offended, but taking that out. Once you get brought in by another family to give you a better opportunity to succeed than you would be from your circumstances, do you owe that family anything? Or because they're adults and you're a child, that's a responsibility that they've taken on themselves and they just have to accept it. And I struggle going back and forth with that, and I want y'all's opinion. And we could talk about more of the Michael Orr situation and the conservatorship that they made him sign and them making money off the movie and him not getting a dime. We could talk about that. But I just really want to talk about the subject of if you decide to bring a kid into your house to give them a better life, does that kid owe you anything for you giving them that opportunity? DJ C-Sire, we want to adopt a Chinese kid. Will that Chinese kid owe us anything for showing him the hood?
I mean, I don't know how everything works. I would see it just like you would any other kid, or like a child that was born to you. I mean, I guess there's still some parents that feel like, hey, I birthed you, you owe me something. You know, you owe me something. But I guess it's the same situation.
My mom has a little bit of that in her.
Yeah.
I understand.
But, you know, it's like, do you really? I mean, and maybe you could say, oh, I helped save you from the system when you adopt a child, but I don't think that's the mindset you should be. I think that's a wrong mindset. So I think either way, no. Child didn't ask to be born. It's not like they asked you to be in your house. It's your decision. And for you to say, you just having kids so that they can be more successful with you and take care of you? I mean, you want people to be able to take care of you when you're elderly, but you should be able to live your own life and support yourself and not rely on a kid to do that for you. And I don't think you should say, you owe me because I adopted you and I helped you out. You want to help somebody because you are supposed to be a good person. And you care for a child that might not have someone else. And to be an actual parent, not, he plays football, you know. If we adopt him and he becomes able to make some money, Is that what y'all was thinking? So no. I mean, I'm pretty sure people feel that way, but I hope that through the adoption, well, never mind.
Yeah, it's tough.
I would think the process, those will get, people will get weaned out, but no, they don't. But
yeah, it's tough. And I mentioned my mom just because she's told me that a couple times. Like, I'm your mother, you owe me. And I've never, and look, I love my mother to death. My mother's done everything in the world for me, and I would do anything in the world for my mom. But I never felt like it was an old thing because, again, like, you're my mom. I didn't ask to be here. Like, I don't think owing, I think you do for people that you love, you do for things for people because you love them, not because you want anything back. And look, my mom's great for that. Like, I can say that, yeah, sometimes my mom gives off the you owe me thing, but my mom will stop and give anything to anybody. She's that loving of a person. But, and get it off my mom, like even my son. I don't feel like my son owes me anything except for good effort and be a good human being. I'm going to give you everything in the world that you want. Well, not everything you want, because you got to control that too. But you'll never need for anything. You'll live a good life. Just give me good effort in your life. And be a good human being. Like, I don't want nobody to say, yo, Gunson's a piece of shit. Like, I just don't have to deal with it, right? I think that's the only thing you owe me. But, like, if my son happens to get lucky and makes millions and millions of dollars playing sports, I wouldn't ask for anything. We've done well in our life. Like, we don't need any money from them. Now, if he wants to buy something, I'll be the first one to tell him, yo, be absolutely sure you're okay giving this to your mother. Because I don't want that. But I don't ever want you to say, hey, mom, I bought you a Bentley. You need to do this for me. Because I'll be the first one to my, I'll be taking the shit back. Because I don't like that with people. So let me just go around the room. I didn't mean to get to this heavy. But, Blur, what you think, man? Do you feel like kids owe parents that have been adopted? Blur, you got us on mute? All right, I'm going to go to New York, New York, while Blur figures out his New Jersey connection. Might not be no Wi-Fi in New Jersey. New York, New York, what you think?
I mean, I share the same sentiments as y'all. I mean, I don't have no kids of my own, but, like, I share the same sentiments as you, Beast Born Gunman, and DJ C. Silent. Like, I don't know any other way to say it like that. I mean, I don't, yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like I owe it. I don't owe it, but I do, like, if that situation were to happen, like, considering my family, you know what I mean, I would do it a lot. I don't think they expect me to, like, they wouldn't expect me, like, oh, you owe me, like, now you're doing good, you owe me. I'll do it out of love type of situation. So I agree with that. But, like,
I mean, I
just,
guess that's
like,
the
you,
way to look at
it. Yeah, because it's like, if you helping somebody, like, out of love, and you want to give them a better life than what they already had, I mean, That's you doing that out of your goodwill. But for you to say, like, now that you help them do certain type of stuff in their life, and then you feel like you're old because you gave them the opportunity in order for certain type of success, I feel like, yeah, you just did it for all the wrong reasons.
I mean, I get it, because, like, I look at all the things my parents did for me, and they did a lot, and there were some situations that were pretty scary for me, and I had to call my mom and dad and be like, yo, dog chewed through a pipe, we got evicted, I need $300 to lock down an apartment. And I know my parents ain't really have the money, and they did whatever they could to scrounge up to get the money and send it to me. I felt like I owed them that money because that was a ridiculous situation that I put myself in. Right? So I did whatever I could to pay them back the money, and I think I got like 80 bucks in, and my mom was like, don't worry about it. Your dad forgot about it, man. Don't worry about it. But ever feel like I owe them for life? But I don't know if it's different when you're adopted, especially when you take Michael Orr's age when they found out that he wasn't even adopted. He signed a conservatorship. And even my boy when he was, and I don't know, I don't think he ever got adopted. I think he just lived with him. But I'm not sure, so I don't want to get that information wrong. Again, I never got that deep in the subject because I was a kid myself. But they were older. Like, they knew their parents. Like, we was in sports, like, in middle school and stuff when this stuff was going on. So I don't know. I guess when you're that age and you realize, hey, I can go down this road or I can go that road. That road is going to be easier because it's opening the doors. Do I now owe them because I know they're not my parents? Like, it's different with me looking at my mom and my dad because, you know, they're my mom and my dad. Is it different when you're older and you kind of understand that someone else who's not your parents is giving you a different opportunity? Do you feel like you got to owe them? Especially when you're successful. I still think as the parent, if you're going to put someone in your house, you know, they should never feel like they owe you anything. But maybe it's a good business decision. You see potential in the kid. You see that you can put him on the path to be successful. I mean, it's a good business decision too, right? Like, can I be mad at a parent that says, yo, you could have went down this road, and yeah, you still would have been great, but there was a huge opportunity that you would end up being nothing. I brought you in my crib, and I basically made sure that you went down the great path. Break me off something. Is the parent really wrong for that? Blur, you back? I don't know, Blur, what? New York, is that wrong for a parent to think like that?
I mean, in the situation that you put it, they're not wrong. They're not wrong, but it's just like, the type of person that I am, I don't expect nothing from the next man or the next woman.
Yeah.
So,
I guess that's the thing.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, certain other people are different. But it's just like, I expect nothing from the next person. Especially if I help you out of the kindness of my heart or anything like that situation is concerned, or anything, right? I just don't expect from the next person.
Okay. So now the next question is, Michael Orr's, his white family, I'll just call him the white family, because I don't know if they adopted him or not. They basically helped make this movie that made them millions and millions of dollars. Apparently, and I don't know, but Michael Orr didn't get anything. Because, truthfully, the movie was about the mother. It wasn't really about Michael Orr. I don't know what the movie terms is. He wasn't the catalyst. But, you know, the movie was about the mother. So now Michael Orr is suing the family because he ain't getting no money from the movie. Because he said without him, the movie wouldn't exist, which is true. Or maybe it just would have been another black kid. But the problem is he signed over this conservatorship, which relinquished his rights. So does he deserve any of that money? He said he didn't really realize it because he was playing football and focused on his career.
And I feel like, and I've met Mike a couple times. He's a big dude too, man. I feel like I understand his point of view, but once you sign them papers, like, you got to chalk it up. But I've seen Styles P throw a chair at Diddy and get out of his contract. So I don't know. Y'all think he should get any money from the Blind Side? I think he should get money just because they made him look like a big oaf. Because Mike was a nice guy. A couple times I've met him, nice guy. I'm quiet, but nice guy. You should never be made to look like a big black dummy. So I think he should get money just for that. But, you know, the highlight of the movie was that he saved this little kid who was riding in the front seat with an airbag, like the airbag would have killed him. I would have thought the airbag would have saved him. He should have been in the back seat anyway. The Blind Side is a good movie. Sandra Bullock looks like a sexy old country woman that would have got lost in that fight in Alabama. It looked like she would have jumped in and lost. So I think she played it really well. So, all right, well, if you haven't seen The Blind Side, go see it. Good movie. Blur, you back? He's still with family. Madden came out this week. Anybody excited? My son's excited. I downloaded it yesterday. He tried to stay up to play it. I told his ass to go to bed so that I could play it. I turned that thing on. That game passed me by, man. You can direct which way your pass is going. I said, all right, this ain't for me. And that's how it ended. So, anybody, New York? Who we got? I was about to click Kirk. Jack, you, any of y'all ready, Madden?
Nah, I play 2K. Yeah, that's my game.
Okay. 2K, no Madden, New York, you playing Madden?
Nah, I'm not playing no Madden. I had to, look, I play 2K and I play FIFA, but like I had it up in here with 2K and FIFA, so like I'm giving it one last shot and what's it called, the next month when it come out, downloading it. If I don't get no bullshit on the game, you know what I mean, we still good, but like I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of the bullshit with these games, yo. Tired of the bullshit with these games. Like I'm more looking forward to like Mortal Kombat or something like that coming out, but like these sports games, playing them, I just feel like they be holding me every single time.
Yeah, my son had his heart broke because I make him earn his own money. So I think this was the first time where he was like, yo, Dad, Madden come out. We getting it. And I was like, I'm not getting it. If you want to get it, you got to use your own money. Now, my son has his own cake business, and he's made money, and, you know, he don't spend money on nothing except for, like, Roblox, so he's still got a bunch of it left. So he was like, bet, I'll use my own money. I was like, cool. So we went to the GameStop, and I was like, you got your money? He was like, nah, I want you to buy it. I'll just give you the money back. But GameStop was closed. It was at 8 o'clock. Right after football practice. So I came home, and I was like, yo, we can download it, but you still got to give me the money for it. And he was like, all right. So he hopped on PlayStation. You know how much Madden is? Anybody got a guess?
What? Depends on what
like
type of version
you
got, right?
Hold on. One at a time. Would you say New York?
I said it depends on what type of version you buy, right?
I got the PS5 version. I don't know what that means. I got it, they gave me a choice. Pre-order, PS4 or PS5. I got the PS5 version. You know how much it was? Take a guess. What you think?
I got a great guess.
It got to be 70 plus. It got to be 70 plus.
Okay. Jack, what you think?
I'm thinking like, if this, you got a pre-order, right?
I got a pre-order.
Yeah, so I'm saying $100. Pre-order? Yeah, I'm saying
$100. That price came up. It said $99.99. And my son looked at it, yo, and I thought his heart sunk. I saw the pain come over his chest. And I said, "Do you still want it?" He went and got a $100 bill out of his little safe. And he looked at me and he looked at the screen. I swore like a tear. Like he had that, what was that Denzel movie? When he was a black general. Soldier. Glory. He had that glory tear when he handed me that C-note. So I downloaded it, and I was proud of him. He's like, can I ask mommy to make some cake now? I'm like, hell no. Your mom just got home from work. You get back to work tomorrow. So he got it. It was $100, man. It hurt his heart. You know the bad thing is? This is why these kids are so spoiled. So like, I took the 100 from him, and I was like, but, you know, I don't need it. So I just, like, put in his, like, savings account that he doesn't know about. Like, my son's going to be, like, me and my wife got to do a will soon. Because, like, if both of us die, he has a bank account with money in it that he has no idea about. And I'm afraid it's going to go to the government. But I don't want to tell him about the bank account until, like, we're ready to die. And I'm like, yeah, here goes some money. Because I don't want to do anything stupid. So, all right. But, yeah, $100. And Madden's crazy right now, you know. You can direct where the passes go. The game's used to be really good at Madden. Now, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I really don't like how they keep on coming out with new games every year. And with 2K, when you play, like, online, because that's the big thing about it, if you want to play online with the my player or whatever, you got to get, like, to a 90. And it used to be, like, you could get a 90 for, like, $40. Now you got to pay, like, $70 on top of the game, or you just got to play it for, like, hours and hours and hours, and not everybody got all that time.
Oh, you got to play? You got to pay to get your player better?
Yeah, you either got to play, like, a lot, like you have no job, like that's the only thing you can do, or you got to pay. That's what everybody does.
See, and I guess that's where...
Yeah.
This is dope. When I was in, you could play the same game. So we play James Bond, GoldenEye, we'd be jumping around trying to shoot each other with snipers in the middle of the air. But these games now, it's like you create your own player, and you're like, you join a game and get put on the team, but it's like a custom player. And it's weird because when we played, it was like only the people that were on the team. Like you could create a player and play in a season, but you couldn't create a player and play online against somebody. If you were playing online against somebody, it's whoever your team was, whoever the players were on. So I don't really get into that. A lot of my boys, like even me in New York, hop on the PlayStation. Like, it's just shooter games. It ain't really, unless it's something I don't know, but when we play Call of Duty, I feel like I'm just like the next person. But even that's a lot of playing because you got to upgrade your, like, you got to do certain tasks to get certain guns. And I'm like, yo, just let me get the gun I want so I can play. I don't need, like, I don't want to have to throw a grenade 50 feet and blow two people up to unlock a gun. Because I feel like I'm not playing to have fun. But again, I realize these games are made for college kids and high school kids who have a lot of extra time, and not really for me, for when I get on for my little 2 hours in a weekend. But I do like this. I still love the first-person shooters. I like the Assassin's Creed. They got God of War right now. God of War Ragnarok on sale for like $10. I might buy that because I heard that was like a great game. Never played it. I'll be feeling bad when I hop on the PlayStation to buy a game because they got that Ghost of Tsushima, which was a dope game. I don't know how to say that last word. And when I saw it, I was like, yo, this game looks, like, it looks beautiful, yo. It's like Red Dead Redemption 2. And I paid the $80 when it came out. And then I was on sale for $20. I don't think I'm ever going to pay full price for a game again unless it's like Assassin's Creed, something that I really, really enjoy, or Far Cry. I think I'm going to just wait for it to go on sale because I'm just looking through all these lists. Like all these games that I pay $80, $90, $60 for are on sale for like $5. So if you got a minute and you got a hard drive with extra room, go online. They got like an 80% sale going on PlayStation right now. And download some games. That's all. Y'all got anything else?
Nah, I do want to say, like, yeah, that 2K is crazy. That 2K is crazy. You really got to grind. You really gotta grind to level up your player. Like, I mean, like 2K. Since I have online for PlayStation, right? They do this thing where you could get like games, like you said, if you wait, you can get games for like half the price off or stuff like that. I never bought 2K23 when it came out, but since I play for I pay for online for PlayStation, I got the game free. But 2K, like leveling up your player, like your cousin said, like. You really gotta have that time to grind, or it's kind of like you gotta pay to play. Like I'm $200 in on my play, and I'm only at level 88. I'm trying to get 92 to play in a rec with people. I'm trying to get to play in a rec with people, but it's just like they coming out with the game every year, and it's be the same game. Like literally, like I'm $200 in on 2K23 next month. 2K24 about to come out. So I already know it's going to be hectic. Yep. So I got to see how the gameplay is. And, like, God, if it's not doing it for me, I'm not doing it no more.
Yeah, that's why I like this single-player games. I can't keep buying Madden and 2K because it's the same game over and over. You end up just deleting the other one. So I'm good on that. But my son, he's at the age where he likes playing Madden with his boys. He likes playing 2K with his boys, so I get it. Because I was a Madden fiend when I was a kid. Even though you find your little offense and run the same plays over and over, but it's cool to play against people. I just ain't got time to play against people no more, man. I'm too old. So, all right. What else we got? What else we got tonight? Yo, a pilot died. In the middle of a flight to Argentina, I think, from Miami to Santiago, Chile. It was one of them overnight flights. That's got to be scary, right? It was one of them overnight flights, left at 10 o'clock from Miami. Pilot started to feel unwell, went to the bathroom, collapsed. They tried to bring him back to life. They made an emergency landing in Panama, pronounced him dead. They didn't say why, but that's gotta be rough, yo. Like, you never know when's your last breath, but you don't want to see someone's last breath on a plane. Now, he was a 25-year vet of flying, so he had to be older. They haven't released his name. They haven't released what he died of that I've saw. But that's got to be scary. Like, if you're on a plane and you see people trying to revive somebody, and he got one of them shirts with the little wings and the little shiny stuff on them, and then you say to yourself, are we okay? Because he got all the shiny stuff on. Does somebody else know what to do? And the good thing is they said they had, you know, they had a co-pilot and they had, what else did they have? Which I thought about, I was like, damn, man, they got, like, they deep on that plane. It was like six people that could actually fly that plane. on that. Mm-hmm. So it was like the plane was never in danger. But when they say your pilot dies mid-flight, like, that sucks, yo.
Yeah.
So rest in peace to that man. I hope he was a good, unless he was racist. I try to hold my rest in pieces real wary, real close to the vest, just in case.
Why?
What if he was racist? Like, what if he was one of them Alabama dudes?
I mean, that's nothing you have to worry about.
No, then I don't want you to rest in
peace. It's not your, well, you, it's unfortunate.
If you start jumping the man for doing his job, a security dude.
Unfortunately, just because you think it doesn't mean they're just going to just not help.
That's the problem with the Alabama fight that I had. And again, I'm not making a black or white thing because I don't look at it like that. I look at it as an elitist thing. Why are you trying to jump a security guard? I've been security before. It's cash-based business. It's basically...
He wasn't a security guard. He was a co-captain of the or co-whatever of the docking ships.
That man had a jacket that said security.
It had tassels.
So he was big time?
I don't know how big that is. I don't know.
I worked security before. It's a cash business. You're just trying to get 100, 200 bucks that night. Why are you jumping that, man? I root for all security guards. I know it's black people we're not supposed to root for the police. But I root for security guards. I've been a security guard before. It ain't a fun job. There's nothing entertaining about it. Even the drunk women that come up to you, all they want to do is try to get in for free. And that's what I was upset about. Like, why are you messing with a guy who just doing security? But I know he was a captain, so maybe he has some
clout. He's a co-captain.
Co-captain. All right. James Harden said he'll never play for any organization that Daryl Morey is a part of. The Sixers, he said this while he was in China. And I thought the funniest thing in the video is he said, I will never play for an organization. He said, Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never play for an organization that he's a part of. He said, let me repeat that. And I don't know if he said, let me repeat that because he was in China, and they might not have understood what he was saying, or if he wanted to make a strong point that he didn't want to play for the Sixers because Daryl Morey was a part of it. And then they said he wore a fat suit out there because it looked like he had a big belly. Maybe messing with James. Yo. I know y'all not, I know New York, you're not the hugest basketball fan. Jack, you got anything on James Harden wearing a fat suit in China? And saying,
that's just wild. I cannot believe all this shit, man. They just had, like, a pretty good season. I mean, tearing that all apart because of one guy is kind of really crazy to me. He still don't got a ring. And, come on, man. Like, you just, I feel like people be selling the bag. You get paid millions of dollars. Just shut up and play basketball, the game that you're supposed to love. And you bring a politics into it. Like, I don't like it. I just wanna see basketball being played.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy. Like, get him out of here. I ain't worried about it. Like, you don't want anybody disgruntled around Embiid. You want Embiid to be happy because he's such a good player. He's such a staple part of the Sixers organization. So as a Sixers fan, I'm just like, all right, man, get him out of here. New York, you got anything on it, on James Harden? Man, you got 10 minutes.
I've seen it. But, yeah, I don't follow it that much. So, like, I don't know his sentiments about it. But, like, yeah. Wasn't he, like, he wasn't even playing for the Sixers no more at the time of his statement, right? He went through a whole different other team. At this point, like, I don't understand, why is he talking about it? He was still with him?
Yeah,
oh, shit. Well, never mind it. Never mind it. That's that. That see, it still be eyes. Look, I don't watch no sports. You see.
On a lighter note, me and DJ Hisarin and our son went to go see the new Ninja Turtles movie. It was pouring rain. It was storming. So football guy canceled. So he's like, all right, well, look, let's go to the movie. That's the great thing. See, this is why I don't understand about people who live in the country. No offense, DJ Hisarin. But I love living in a city because plans get canceled. It's so easy to do something else. Like, it's never really a trip to go do something else because when you live in a city, everything's right there.
The movie theater is down the street from my parents' house.
Where? Y'all got a VHS that plays big movies?
The theater's behind the mall. It's like 10 minutes away.
Hmm. So we went to go see the new Ninja Turtle movie. And DJ C. Simon, what'd you think? Oh, hold on. Let me ask Jack. Jack in New York. Did y'all see the new Ninja Turtle movie? Do you even care to see the new Ninja Turtle movie? Or do you look at it like a little kid movie? Y'all ain't going to see it.
What? Hey, the OG Ninja Turtles was lit. And I don't like how they keep on rebooting shit. I'm not rocking with it. Not rocking. The OG shit was dope. I'm not going for it.
Okay. New York. Oh, now, when you say OG Ninja Turtle stuff, are you talking about like the very, very first one with the live action? Because you weren't born yet.
Yes, I'm talking about that. The first movie, the first movie, yes, bro, when fucking, what, Splinter, when he was looking like a fucking, I don't even know, he did not look, I don't know what he looked like. That shit was scary low-key, but that, it was dope. That was dope. When the monsters looked scary, that was it.
Okay, so you like the live action. Okay, New York, what about you?
Yeah, I probably won't go see the movie. I probably won't, to be honest. I don't really follow Ninja Turtles that much other than a cartoon when I was a kid, but other than that, I'm not going to see this new movie.
Yo, the funny thing is, I would tell you, well, let me ask you this, New York, and I'll come right to you, Jack. Did y'all see the Spider-Verse movies, 1 and 2?
I've seen the first one. I tried to watch the one on the Fire Stick today. Legally. I tried to watch the one legally. Let's say that. Legally. I tried to watch the one on the Fire Stick today. Today. But it just wasn't working. So I only seen the first one.
Jack, what about you? You watch the Spider-Verse movies?
I watched the first one and the second one. But I really don't think it deserved, like the second one ended and it was like 2 weeks to continued. I was so mad. Like, this is your second movie and you already on like a two-part shit. I was so pissed.
But I guess what I'm asking, like, if you watch Spider-Verse, why won't you watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? I'm just asking.
Spider-Verse was like the first black Spider-Man. Come on, I had to. For the culture.
Turtles are black?
Yeah, I thought we all understood that the turtles were black. Did we not? Is that not a thing?
We knew Raphael
was
the next. Raphael's always been black.
He's definitely angry black man.
Question the rest of them, but...
No, we knew it was just different shades of black people. Oh. Was that not? Is that just a black family thing?
Well,
I thought that we all knew that the turtles were black. It was just different parts of how black people are. Is that not a thing? Do white people think that the turtles are white?
I think white people think the turtles are white. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But,
I thought was maybe the only one that could have been like a skater white dude.
Yeah, because he's the cowabunger. Yeah,
figured it.
But I thought we understood that all the rest of them were black. Is that just a black family thing? Is that just a racist on our side thing?
It's because they're turtles. You can make them whatever race you want, but we think they're black. But, I mean, the creators are white.
I mean, the creators
nah,
of
hold
all
on,
Hollywood.
Hold on. With a name like Donatello, I can't think that he's black.
Well, it's 10 years, bro. Oh, my God.
Black people
see,
are the only people
why.
That name their children Italian names. Because we name them Dante. We name them.
We love Alfredo, yo.
Yeah, we
come on, New York.
Black
we
people
got,
just like Italian names. It's,
yeah, you got to get out there. See, this is what happens when you join a gang as a kid, yeah. Look, black people have always loved, look, you know, bang your head on the wall, teenage turtles, knock yourself out. Look, name like Donatello, that's what black people do. We try to name our kids with the fancy names.
I mean, I knew a dude that was Marquise. I mean, that's like, that's like French royalty. Come on.
New York. Your legal name is Italian.
See, and that's the thing, right? Like, why? I don't even think, like, what the mafia and the mob didn't even allow. What they didn't even allow black people in the family.
Yeah.
They wasn't made. Look how they looked at Frank Lucas. When he was sitting in the front row before the mob, he got better seats.
Bro, tell me you didn't love Casino.
Casino's good. You got me there. You got me there.
Casino is probably the second. Casino. I know. This is how it goes. This is the offer. Casino is probably the second greatest movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything from action to love to heartache to just great. Like, when you're talking about just great talking and great quotables, Casino has a lot of. I don't think you've seen it enough because it's such a tragic story. Like, when you're talking about Shakespeare tragedies, the Romeo and Juliet, like, you imagine when these white people were in the Colosseum and they saw that she was just asleep and he thought she was poisoned, so he stabbed himself, and then she woke up and saw that he stabbed himself, so she took poison and killed himself, and then people were all in the Colosseum and was like, oh, this ain't a happy ending? That's what Casino was. Like, he loved this crackhead. She done drove on his lawn. The cops is there. And then she got away with the jewelry. And he done dodged all this gang stuff. And all he wanted to do was love this woman and run a casino. And it all fell down. It's one of the great American tragedies of all time. And he was just really good with numbers. But that's why you don't give nerds good pussy. It's just a fact. When you give nerds a lot of money and they get good pussy, the pussy takes advantage of the nerd. But DJ C. Siren won't admit that because she won't criticize a woman. And on that note, we're going to end.
Watch Teenage Mutant Ninja.
Yeah, that's where we're going. There we go.
It's good. It's hilarious.
Okay.
It's really, really
well,
good.
Well, we don't want to say that. The first 45 minutes.
It's still good.
Hey, New York, Jack. Hey, look, DJ C. Sire had me watching the movie Jerk the other night, so I keep wanting to call Jack Jerk. And you know I love you, cousin, so I know you're not a jerk. But I just keep that movie in my mind, so every time I say jerk, I keep saying Jack. But, yo, the first half hour of that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, absolutely flawless. The first 30 to 45 minutes. The next 45 minutes was it was okay. But the first 45 minutes was really, really flawless. Like, I was like, damn, this might be on par with Spider-Verse. It was that good of a movie. And as an adult, you'll appreciate New York, you'll appreciate it because it's got a lot of New York humor. It's got a lot of subtleties that as a New York person, as somebody from the Northeast, you'll really enjoy. And Jack, if you love the older Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, you'll appreciate the little ninja rap cameo that comes in. Like, it's really good for the first 45 minutes, and then you can turn it off.
No, don't turn it off.
I mean, enjoy the rest of the movie, but, you know. All right, we're going to get out of here. It's been fun tonight. Blur had to hop off. He's dealing with family stuff, so, you know. God bless the family, my soul family. And we'll get back together next week. I got folks coming down tomorrow. Still got cleanup tomorrow. I'm going to hit the beach. Kid got a championship basketball game. I hope you guys have a good weekend. I hope you guys get a chance to party, enjoy yourselves, and we're out of here. DJ C. Sire, you got anything to say before we roll?
Nope. Good night.
Jack, you on the road. Be safe. My cousin, you got anything to say before we roll?
Nothing much. Just thank you. See you next. You know, yeah.
You okay? Did you die? Did you glitch? It sounded like you ran out of battery, yo.
Yo, this rain is something serious, man.
Oh, it's raining up north?
Yeah, it's fucking pouring.
All right, be safe. Get to the back. Hit me up when you get back south, yo. Pause.
All right.
New York, what you got?
Man, pray for all these wildfires that's going on out here. You know what I mean? Too many, like, what? We just had one in Canada now. Now it's going to happen in Hawaii. Pray for them. You know what I mean? Other than that, you know what I mean? You're wrong for what you're doing, but I respect the pettiness because I'm petty too. You know what I mean? I think if your next petty move should be like star in a film with him. That's what you do. Other than that, you know what I mean? Protect your health, protect your wealth, stay safe out here, drink your water. I look forward to the next conversation.
My man, always good hearing from y'all. Y'all be safe wherever y'all may be in life. I already came to you, right? You said you ain't got nothing. Good night. All right, man, we out.